Hi, and welcome back to my podcast, Liminal Journeys, and I'm your host, Vanessa Couto. You can find more about me at vanessacouto.com or on Facebook at Liminal Journeys. Today, I have a special guest, Laura Rao. I've had an episode with her last year where we got to talk about empaths. Laura Rao is a spiritual teacher and healer here in Portland, Oregon. And she works with empowering empaths and light workers. She and I have a talk here in Portland coming up on April 27th, which is going to be a Friday at 6:30. And it's happening at the bookstore New Renaissance. If you're here in Portland, come and join us. We're going to be talking about birthing a spirit-led business. And the conversation here today, Laura and I were talking about purpose, you know, how we got to do what we're doing, what drove us to do and birth the kinds of businesses that we have. The idea of purpose or mission or a sense of meaning in life has been one of the driving themes in my life, something that I have been keenly looking for, trying to learn about, trying to find my own purpose for years and years. As you will hear in our conversation, as a child, I really just wanted to receive the yellow envelope that says, here is your mission. This is what you need to do, show up at such and such location. But for those of you and who know, you know, purpose isn't something that just comes via the mail. It is more like the holy grail of holy grails of search. So I invited Laura to come to the podcast first to just sort of talk a little bit more about this topic. And also because she and I often have such long and interesting conversations. And then we always like, gosh, we should have just recorded that. And so here it is for you. And again, just for the Portland folks, or if you're close to Portland and or if you happen to be in town, come and see our talk on April 27th at the new Renaissance bookstore. All right, now onto the conversation. Cheerio. Bye. Hey, Laura, welcome back.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be here.
I'm glad to have you back because we often have such great conversations and we always like, gosh, we should be recording this. And
indeed. So now we are.
And so now we are. Here we are. Yeah. You know, just before we hit record here, because we thought, oh, this is a good conversation and let's just do it, is we were talking about purpose.
Yes.
And it's one of my favorite topics because for years and years, especially starting my teens, I was determined to find my mission. Because as at that time, I didn't really use the word purpose. I was thinking my mission.
Oh, that's very King Arthur.
Actually, very Jason Bourne for my taste. But
that's awesome. Like,
I would have these fantasies that, you know, one day I would come home and a yellow envelope would be there and it would see, you know, show up at such and such place and we'll give you
fantastic.
But before that, growing up Catholic, I actually remember going to Mass and just praying to Jesus that please send me, give it clear to me what am I here to do? Mm-hmm. Because I was fascinated with the stories of saints on how they would, you know, hear the voice of God or Jesus, and then they would have their what they were here to do, their vocation, their calling, which is really all related, right? Purpose and vocation, mm-hmm. and a strong connection. But you know, as a child of the 80s and 90s, it was about the mission. if I so choose to accept it.
And yes.
But as we were talking, this idea of purpose has mushroomed in the world of not just spiritual seeking, but in business. So many people now want to establish their businesses. They want to have a career that is purpose driven. Mm-hmm. They want to know what their purpose is and they want to be of service. So the vocabulary mm-hmm. is there.
Yep.
And it's just interesting because we were talking about, like, how did it all kind of all of a sudden just explode and has this mass appeal?
Right. I think the creatives of the world have always, you know, created their art, their writing from that sense of purpose. Like, this is what I'm here to do. And watching, you know, everybody sort of take over this idea of, ooh, I have a purpose and I'm going to make my business this purpose. It's kind of fun. And for me, there's no soul in business if it's not what I'm about. Like, I couldn't really dig in a corporate environment because it wasn't enough of a reason for doing business. Like, a job title, human resources executive, maybe if I was really tied into the mission of the company, that would be enough, but it never felt like it spoke to me. And like you were saying, with looking for your mission in the world, I think I was always waiting for I was searching for, what is it that I'm about? Why am I here? And there's got to be more to the gig than waking up at 7 and getting in the car and driving to work and working until 9. It didn't feed it. So, and I don't really remember, I guess I was searching for a purpose, but I didn't use that word either. I just sort of felt like I should have been studying. You know that feeling in college when you're, you know, playing hooky and you should be studying? That's always how I, yeah, there's like 7 things I should be doing, but I'm going to watch this movie instead.
I did feel that too, especially my mid late 20s. That's when I really started feeling that, like, oh, I'm doing this. This is all fine and dandy, but there's something else, you know. It started becoming more of a nagging. But as you were speaking, and even in my own search, I think that purpose, it behooves the question, is it really linked to our livelihood? Is it really linked to career? And I think to a certain degree it is. It could be. But perhaps it's not always linked to that.
Well, my theory on that is that the structures we've built as a society, the structures of the 9-to-5 trappings, the house, the bank, the bank account, doesn't feel natural to the soul. And the soul's purpose doesn't necessarily link in to that system, but because we live in this capitalist society, there's really no escaping the fact we have to pay rent, we have to do these things, we need food on the table, we need health care. It almost became necessary to link it into our livelihood if we're going to be in that spiritual place, because I look at purpose as part of spirituality. I think if you're looking for purpose, there's something bigger happening for you in the world that you're wanting more connection than, you know, the typical pattern of life in America.
Yeah, there's a sense of a search. I mean, for me, purpose became the holy grail of, like, what is it? How do you link it together? Which ended up being the core reason I dove into studying astrology, because I was looking it for myself. I thought something, I must have come with a book of instruction, a little booklet of instructions. And since apparently in all my prayers, you know, Jesus didn't tell me, but I felt that there had to be something that would link it all together, that why I'm here, what I do, and what I am and who I am, so that it felt meaningful. Because I think you're right. At the end of the day, it's about meaning. Mm-hmm. Even though I question, what is it to have meaning? You know, what is it to embrace something when it has meaning? To me, when something has meaning, be it a movie or a story or an experience, it has subtle levels to it. It's not just surface level.
Yeah.
It's a simple example, but I just to illustrate, I feel like sometimes we go see a movie and we enjoy it. We mm-hmm. laugh at the right parts. We cry at the right parts. But when you walk away, it's done. It's like right. nothing sticks. Mm-hmm. And it's, I feel like, oh, I just ate a bag of Cheetos. It was great while I was doing it, but now I feel nothing. And mm-hmm. to me, that's the lack of meaning. Mm-hmm. You can have fun while you're doing it. You can kind of be there, but it doesn't stick.
Yeah.
And that's it. But at the same time, when I think about that, I think about all the other people in the world in different situations where they don't even have time to think about this. They have to survive.
Right.
So perhaps purpose is, you start thinking about purpose when you've reached a certain level of, yep. in the Maslow pyramid.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. We're out of survival.
Yeah. That's so if I'm given. Not super hungry and I don't have to hunt, I can start thinking about these other things.
Yeah.
And I was also, you know, having been raised by a mother who's an educator, very much in with the theory of like the environment is key, yeah. the family is key. I was always arguing for, well, what about what I come with? That's my own. That's nature. Mm-hmm. That's mine. It's my original stamp.
Yep.
And how does that interact with the environment I'm in? To me, astrology has a lot to say about that. Mm-hmm. And that was my attraction. But when I see clients, and I'm sure you have this experience with clients too, is they are looking for, even if they're not saying the word purpose,
yep.
they seem to be looking for something that validates why they're here.
Yeah. And as I think about work that I did prior to this business that is a part of my purpose for sure versus work now, I think about the fact that I was trained to do many different jobs, you know, from high school on up. I could run a cash register. I could, you know, I can do accounting. There's a lot of things I learned how to do and that I'm very capable at doing. But that one didn't make me feel like I fit in that model. Like it wasn't wrong. It wasn't bad. It just didn't jazz me. Didn't turn me on. And I think about what I'm doing now. And I feel like when we're working in some part of our purpose, and well, I want to talk about purpose in a minute, about defining that a little. I feel like our genius has an opportunity to come out. Like what makes us interesting and unique? And I think we all have some special brand of genius that when we find the right work or the right vocation or the right path in life has an opportunity to come out. That is, you know, it's why Einstein was a brilliant physicist. It was his thing. He got it at a level because it was his to unfurl, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like when you're on a purpose, what it feels like. Like anybody can learn a job and be capable at it. But if people really want that and that's all that they care about, well, that's great. It just was never something that I could, that was never enough. I needed something more than that. So taking a sidestep into what purpose is, because we talked a little bit about the fact that right now we're talking about it in terms of vocation. But when I hear the word purpose, the first thing I think of is like a monk or a nun. It's a religious connotation, right? It's yeah. this idea that I've got to go hike in the Himalayas and pray 8 hours a day. And that doesn't really work. That could work back in the, you know, I don't know. I don't know when that worked, but I'm thinking 1300s, 1400s, when you just kind of trekked out. Mm-hmm. You could grow your food. You could, you know, kill your food. I don't feel like that's a accurate depiction of what people were going to want to do now and that would fill them now. So what is it? It has, I think, for the where we're at in society, it's become about vocation. So, you know, I don't think my purpose is the mission of my business, but my mission serves my purpose. Does that make sense?
My mission serves my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Like what I do with my business serves my purpose.
Serves my
purpose. But my business isn't my purpose.
Yeah, that's an important distinction. And I was going to say too, in our, at least we can speak for, you know, living in America and, you know,
right,
land of capitalism, but the ultimate religion. It's that I feel like the reason it's so linked to what we do career wise, or the wanting to put them together, is because,
yeah,
at least here we often identify ourselves by what we do,
yeah,
right? The career, the title, and so I think it becomes a bit more linked. Because I remember growing up and the adults around me, I didn't have really a sense that people were wanting to do a job because they wanted to express who they were. They were happy to have a job to provide, yes, to their family. And as if the job was more of a tool to create the life they wanted to do,
yeah,
to have.
Yeah.
And maybe the sense was that they felt more aligned with the purpose of being a father or a mother or, you know, involved in their community in some way. And I think I would say perhaps in the last 20 years or so, it's becoming more of, okay, you can't just have a business to make money. What does it serve? You know, a bigger purpose.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, there are different points of view, many ways to approach this topic, because it's both something that's in the collective zeitgeist, but it's also an individual journey for each one to go through, right?
Yeah.
It just always fascinated me, the idea that if we come into this life, whatever is it, the religious belief, we come in here. I personally feel that we're here to express, to be one of the sparks that expresses something of this much bigger consciousness of whatever it is that comes through us.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it became more of like, okay, if I want to be the best vessel I can to this coming through me, and there's parts of it of what will come through me will be mine, quote unquote, but something will be more than me. And I'll be just the instrument. And maybe it's all the Catholic upbringing I had where, you know, you are the, right, instrument of God. Yes.
Yep.
And so I've just been really fascinated with looking at people creating businesses or,
mm-hmm,
changing their lives in such ways where they are taking their purpose or their sense of calling,
mm-hmm,
and transforming into a business that both helps them with their livelihood and is also of service to the community.
Yeah.
And we do see this quite a bit now, this sort of clamoring for, no, it has to be of service. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be of service. And perhaps it's part of the connection we all have now, like, well, we are all connected. We're all in this boat together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and you know, you touched on the idea of vocation. It just left my mind, but the essence of being out of survival mode has let us embrace our purpose. So evolutionarily speaking, that's kind of a lovely thing to look at, and I feel like we should really think about how lucky we are to not be living at a time where our very existence was so close to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's what really allows us this indulgence that I think other people, other generations might look at this need of purpose as an indulgence. Mm-hmm. You know, I think my parents were of the mindset of, you just find a job and be grateful that you have it. Mm-hmm. Like me saying, but I don't like it, wasn't acceptable, right? They were like, you just do it. Like, they didn't even know how to react to that, because they're like, well, it's not important.
What, you want to create something that's yours? You're looking for yourself. What is this, right?
Right, right.
But yeah, it's something that we forget in terms of evolution. I mean, we don't know exactly what was happening back way in the ancient times, but suffice to say, you didn't get to live very long, and it was many times short and brutal. Yep. But not that I don't think this kind of questioning did not exist. Mm-hmm. I think it did exist, but with different vocabulary. But yeah. Now, I think I wonder why it's relevant is because maybe if you think the Gaia consciousness, you know, if we are here to be instruments for the consciousness of the planet, if you think of the soul of the planet, then it's an evolutionary step in which we're like, oh, wait a second, I'm not just here to be Laura or Vanessa, to be working X, Y, and Z. I'm here to be expressing something that's both mine, but it's also a facet of the collective consciousness that is trying to come through. Mm-hmm. So with that, we go down a very deep rabbit hole.
Definitely.
Causes a lot of discomfort. And what I did learn, and I still feel it's relevant, it's still going on, is that the search for purpose in your own life, it is not like going to a resort in the Caribbean and enjoying yourself. It's the night of the soul for a good chunk of time.
Absolutely.
It actually is quite uncomfortable. Even when you think you found what it is, and then you go trying to bring it into manifestation.
Yep.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
It's really a heroic.
Definitely.
It's a heroic journey. It's a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Because it calls for some humbleness.
Yeah.
But when you touched on the genius, is, I don't want to go too deep into this, but for the Greeks, they considered the daimon. You wouldn't come here into this life, just you. You would have your own daimon, your own genius. The Romans call it the genius. That you don't have genius. You're not a genius. You have the company of a genius. And the genius, that this daimon is here to remind you of what you came to do.
Right. Right.
And it will use any of its tools to get you going in what you need to do.
I love that concept, because I get it. You know, there are certain areas of life that I just get and I'm quick at, and I never want to take credit for it, because I'm like, this wasn't hard. Like, it's not like I worked out a problem and solved something through intellect. It was just obvious. And that explanation as this other thing that's with me, that's the genius working through me, feels like it makes perfect sense to me. It's not me, it's sort of through me.
It kind of lessen the load of the responsibility a little bit, although it is also a bit challenging when you don't know what's happening. It's interesting, because I see this reaction in people and some clients when they ask you at the end of, usually it's at the end of a session, they may ask this. Whatever it is, the question, they'll say, is it in the chart? Does it show in the chart?
Right.
And through that question, what I also hear, and it's not being said, is it in the stars? Is it written? Is it supposed to be?
Right. Is it destiny?
Is it a destiny? And I do think that the theme of purpose mm-hmm. has correlations to what we think of destiny as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or what we believe we don't think about destiny and fate. Mm-hmm. I think, no, I'm not saying they're the same, but I think that there's some juxtaposition at certain points.
I agree.
And because when there's a sense of, I feel like when you AKA find your purpose, mm-hmm. you have, to a certain degree, you feel like, ah, here it is. Now I can go about my business, right? I can do this. Mm-hmm. But I found in my own quest for my mission, because the envelope never arrived.
Dang it.
I so wanted to be Jason Bourne, but
that's right.
It's in my search. It was a lot, almost like unraveling a mystery novel. It's like following the hints, following the synchronicity. And to this day, I even ask, like, can I just kind of have a bird's eye view and see how it's all connected? Because it must be all connected. It is all connected. Mm-hmm. And so, like you were saying about doing work that you thought, oh, I can do this. It's fine, you know, but it's not my thing. But when you think about how that, even that, is linked to what you're doing now.
Right? Yes.
I mean, yes. I never thought that flipping burgers at a Wendy's, which was my first job, was ever my purpose. Man, but it did teach me a few things, making burgers at Wendy's. So it's linked. There is part of it that kind of puts it all together. This reminds me of a story that I have told this story before, but I love this story, which is the story of Fatima, the spinner. Do you know this story?
I don't.
So in this story, Fatima, you know, back way back when, she is the only daughter of a very rich merchant. And she's gotten to a point in her life where her father is like, well, I got to find you a husband, you know, this and that. And so he decides to take her on a trip with him. He was going to, you know, sell his, I think it was cloth. He went to sell in another country. So he decides to take her on the trip because maybe, you know, they could find her a husband. Well, in the middle of that, there was a shipwreck. And she's the only survivor.
Wow.
And she finds herself, you know, she goes from this rich merchant daughter. She finds herself in an island. She's saved by this tiny village of fishermen. And she's taken in by the fishermen. And they teach her how to make the nets, the fishing nets and all this. I might be getting the order of the story slightly wrong here, but the end is the same.
Yes.
And so she one day is on the ship with on the boat with the fishermen, and they get captured by pirates. And so she's sold into slavery. Oh, gosh, it's one bad thing after another.
Yeah.
She's sold into slavery, bought, and the man who buys her, he makes masts, ship masts. So he takes her in as his slave, but you know, she's very intelligent. He notices that she's intelligent, so he teaches her to work. So she learns how to make masks, she knows how to work there. And he, you know, because she's so good, he trusts her, he kind of frees her, but he keeps her, she stays with the family. And then one time he takes her again on one of the trips, and again another shipwreck, and she finds herself in a foreign land. And when she arrives, it could be China, let's say, you know, she looks very different. The people who find her are shocked to see her because she's so different, but she looks exactly like the prophecy that they had.
Oh.
That somebody would come from the sea and it would finally be able to do what the emperor wanted people to do. And so they take her to the emperor, and the emperor wanted this kind of, I think, a massive tent situation. But no one knew how to quite structure that. And she's like, well, I know how to do that. She knew how to work with the cloth. She knew how to weave the nets, and she knew how to make the mast.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did all that, and the king was so happy with that that he gave her, you know, lands and had her marry some rich noble in the mm-hmm. country. And so she finds her happy ending. But I probably butchered the story, but that kind of goes with it. And many times in my own search, when I felt like I had hit the wall. I was like, what am I here to do? This is really nagging me. I would read the story again
mm-hmm.
to give me that sense of like, okay, whatever it is that I'm doing right now may not feel like it's it, but it's taking me closer to it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that story because it's almost that story in particular kind of shows me the playing field, so to speak, the big cosmic playing field of this chess piece has to move to this space in order for this chess piece to move up here in order for this to happen. You know, she wasn't going to find her happy ending in her home, so to speak, if we want to look at it at that very faded destiny sort yeah. of way. She had to have all of this stuff happen in her world, which felt like failure or disaster.
Yeah, felt like shipwrecks, right?
Exactly. Like you've got to overcome that, and you could have died from that, and that, you know, you just weren't going to find what you needed where you started. And I love that kind of story because I feel like it's how I view the journey. You know, I went to school, my background's in business. I really enjoy certain aspects of business, but I never enjoyed corporate world ever.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to kind of weave together the very mystical sort of spiritual healer side of me and the business side of me, that's like pure joy.
Yeah. And it's got me thinking too that how maybe there are two roads on the search for purpose. Mm-hmm. One that takes us completely out from where we came from, and you can read this to be where you actually came from, to your family origin, your own country, which is my case. You know, it takes you far, far away.
Yeah.
And I think there's another sense of purpose, which another story that was very inspiring to me was that movie. I know it's a book, but I only saw the movie, A Side of House Rules.
Yeah,
Tobey Maguire.
Yep, good movie.
Good movie, because what I really liked in that story is that he really wants to go out, and he does, and he goes mm-hmm. into the world, only to come back to what was, you know, his right. purpose, what was where he needed to be, which was back to where he started, but mm-hmm. now he could see it differently.
Right.
And so I think maybe purpose can have that sense as well, that you may have to go out, mm-hmm. but come back to whatever right. it is, the origin, and do it again in a different way.
And, you know, it's a great reflection, because if I think about my beginnings in business, it felt very formulaic. It felt very not of me, like just the thing you processed and ran, like mm-hmm. a computer program. And I think what has shifted as I've left business, gone into healing and working with people's development of themselves, and come and re-embracing business again, it's just bringing me, all of me, into business and doing yeah. it differently. Mm-hmm. And perhaps I couldn't have figured out how to do that without the sidestep.
Yeah, a bit like Side of House Rules, right? And a bit like Fatima, you had all these skills, and now how are you going to put it together in yeah. a way that is cohesive?
Yeah.
And for me, I don't feel like I've gotten there yet completely. Maybe do we ever? I don't know. You know, I think it's a
no,
spiral.
It's a never-ending story.
It's a never-ending yes. story, which yes. is a other movie.
That's right.
But it is what I often say now, you know, how do we bring all the spokes of the wheel, mm-hmm. all the things we learned,
yeah,
that they had to serve a purpose. You know, they had to have a reason they were there. The genius, our own daimon, must have known
Right.
You know, why would we get that job and not the other?
Right.
And because for myself, for a while too, I wanted to, well, I tried this. This doesn't work. Didn't work. So let it go. Throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm seeing, oh, wait a second. No, actually, that needs to be part of it as well.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of, especially women, saying a lot of this, oh, I'm multi-passionate. I want to mm-hmm. have everything in my business, all aspects of myself in the business, yep. which poses a major creative challenge.
Totally.
To try to do it all. The titles get ever longer. but I think this links up to the drive in our culture for true self-expression.
Yeah. Yeah.
One aspect of it is the selfie thing, you know. But if you think about it in metaphor, taking mm-hmm. a selfie is you trying to see who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And absolutely. On the other end of that spectrum, there's a group of people called, you know, awakening, if you will, to use the word, to the fact that it's like, oh, there's got to be something more of me here to express in the world. So you run the gamut between mm-hmm. the selfie addiction to I want to do something that's really truly expressive of myself.
Right. Yeah. And I think the middle ground between like how to get from the selfie to the exploration is dissatisfaction with the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, what, who am I? You know, am I that picture I just posted? Who am I? What am I about? What do I stand for? What do I love?
Yeah.
And we're not always invited to do that kind of exploration.
Yeah. And this is a question that thankfully is not new, because the philosophers have been on and on about that for quite a while ago.
Indeed.
So, but I want to weave in what we're bringing about to this conversation is that we have a talk coming up.
We do.
And so we've been calling each other, masterminding this, brainstorming this presentation. It's going to be April 27th, right?
Yep, April 27th at 6:30 at New Renaissance Bookstore. And the
Portland
peeps. Folks. Yes, Portland, Oregon folks. And the talk is called Birthing a Spiritual Business, a Spirit-Led Business. And spirit-led purpose, in my mind, go together. but the idea of what that feels like, what that looks like, what you can expect to encounter on the journey. My business ownership, to me, the biggest aha I got shortly after beginning was that it's all inner work. It's all, if you don't want to know yourself, don't start a business.
I like that, because I was actually going to say that starting a business, birthing a business is all the therapy work you've ever done on steroids.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And anything that you saw to yourself, oh yes, I've dealt with that in therapy. Yes, my therapist and I have covered that ground.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, it is
the surface.
What do you call it? Rubber meets the road.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because in our case, at least in our story, mm-hmm. was that we felt that to get our purpose, to express that, we had to birth a business that reflected that. And I think that is also a juxtaposition of a few things that we have now. It's both society and economical,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that more and more people are desirous or wanting or able to create businesses.
Yeah.
And there's a sort of economically, many people just had to start a business because they lost their job.
Yes.
But we also have, that's the economy side of things, but we also have the the zeitgeist of the time in which, especially here in the West, which is, you know, self-made, you know, the, yep. the in some ways the glamour actually of the entrepreneur.
Yeah. Like
the entrepreneur is now the new frontier yeah. man or yeah. woman, right?
And I feel that really got ground and or lift, shall we say, in the dot-com, you know, the first dot-com mm-hmm. bubble, mm-hmm. where it's yeah. like everybody and their brother was starting a business.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, as you said, I just kind of, something clicked for me, where we often say, I'm starting a business.
Yeah.
And to me, I think when I say I'm starting a business or I started a business, I'm a startup. Mm-hmm. There's a very clear delineation. There was the before, and now there's this. I crossed that, and I'm on the race. I'm on the race.
Yep.
Running. And I have found that to me, it's more like a birthing.
Yep.
Because you may gestate the idea for quite a while.
Yeah,
and then there is the pain, the contraction, mm-hmm. the messiness of yep. putting that brainchild of yours into the world.
And then that brainchild is its own entity outside of you going mm-hmm. through the stages of development.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. It is much, much more like birthing a business, birthing something than it is like starting an engine.
Yes, you know.
We all wished it was much more like starting an engine, like put the key in, turn it, there's gas in the tank, instant business. That would be yes. fabulous, but fabulous. Not.
But
the way, you
know, talking to new mothers, we all hear how challenging it is, you know. Nights without mm-hmm. sleep, brain fog, you know, so many yeah. things. And I think that when you're birthing a business, especially if you want it to be linked to your sense of purpose, you better come with some, your mindset should be much more flexible because it will shift and morph. It will have different needs. It will require different aspects of you that you didn't think you yep. had, or that, yep. oh my God, do I have to go there again? and so yep. I feel that birthing a business, especially if you're a spirit-led business, it's going to require some different muscles.
Definitely
some different muscles.
I agree.
And,
you know, for anyone listening to this, I would love to get feedback from everybody listening, what their experience of purpose is, if they have one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you and I have similar experience in this, but I'm imagining there's a lot of other experiences out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love feedback from folks who are listening to say what their experience was like.
What it's been like, what is it now, you know, or
yeah.
what was there, to me, I'm always curious as to, was there a significant event that kind yeah. of triggered
woke
them to
it
be
up.
Like, wait a second? Or is it something mm-hmm. that, for me, felt more consistent? You know, it was a constant. I was always looking for it,
yeah.
a bit chasing my own tail. But I do wonder how the people experience this, because if we think that we are collectively reaching a different level of consciousness,
right.
or however that shapes up for people, I think more and more it's going to be very present that we do things that are a more of a true expression of who we are. But before you even know what that is, you have to know who you are. So it's all kind of linked
yeah.
together. So maybe the search for purpose is the search of understanding who am I?
Yeah.
And what do I bring to this banquet?
Yeah. Well said.
And I think that's probably why biographies and autobiographies are still very popular, because people want to know, how did you get to do what you do?
Right? Absolutely.
I've had some people ask me, like, how did you get to do what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it was a very long road.
Exactly. It is not a straight line, that's for sure.
For me, I was so, as a kid, I was so envious of cousins who are like, I'm going to be a doctor. I want to be a doctor. And guess what they are? They are doctors.
Yeah.
It seems so clear. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I've seen that too. And I've wondered, did they just know? And I do think some people just know what they mm-hmm. want to be at a young age. And sometimes I think that they either place it in their mind or someone else, like a parent, places it in their mind. And they are so committed to that vision that they'll do it whether or not they find joy in it.
Yeah. Well, when that gets the question, do they have joy in it? These cousins, I think they do. But
yeah.
Yeah, it does beg that question.
Yeah.
Well, so this is some of the stuff we're going to be talking about on the 27th. So shout out to the Portland folks here. Come on out. It's a Friday evening, 6:30, right? At the New Renaissance Bookstore in Northwest Portland.
Yep.
And Laura and I are going to be exploring the theme of birthing a spirit-led business. Mm-hmm. So the idea of purpose and taking action and following your curiosity and watching out for the synchronicities mm-hmm. and how, you know, my work with astrology and looking at that in terms of how that links up and how it can help you for your birthing your business. Mm-hmm. And you, Laura, tell us a little bit more about, for those who haven't listened to our podcast episode from last year.
Previous one. Well, I work with empaths and light workers, and I help them heal and develop their own identities so that they can go out and be the light that they want to be in the world. And what I help people see is the big picture. I help depersonalize the dramas and traumas that we've experienced in life by showing the path that they're representing mm-hmm. so that they can get ultimately where they're going. But it helps kind of seeing those patterns in understanding the birthing a business process too. It's you know, the micro is the macro.
Yes.
And helping people connect those dots is a part of the journey.
Yeah, because for me, probably one of the reasons I do what I do is because while I was trying to find my way, I often wanted to meet somebody who would mm-hmm. give me the big picture.
Bingo.
And that's, in a way, too, that's what I do with looking at the astrology chart, because I feel like it is the roadmap.
The blueprint. Yep.
The blueprint. I mean, it won't tell you, because you're the one who knows the territory, exactly what's going to happen, but it will show some sort of sign points and posts and milestones. But I often tell my clients that we can look at this map, but you're the one who knows the territory. You're the one who gets to experience it. And it's very multifaceted. And I mm-hmm. find that it's an unbelievable tool to help you see what stage are you in, what mm-hmm. is, what creative flow is, you know, part of it, of that creative flow stage you're in. What are you trying to bring?
Yeah, what tools do you have?
What tools do you have? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very helpful.
And the other parts of yourself that perhaps you're not exploring, the other spokes of your wheel that you may be like, I didn't even know I could do that. And you try to bring that in. So that's mm-hmm. what gives my work meaning and helping mm-hmm. you. I just really love when the clients have that sort of aha moment of like, oh, I see it, you know, I'm getting validated. I'm not crazy. I've had that thought before, but here it is.
Right. And having worked with different business owners moving through their phases of birth, I think I can help people feel more comfortable in the process as I point out, yes, this is a common theme. This is a part of the journey. Don't feel as though you're not meant for the journey just because some of these uncomfortable things come up. It is all a part of it. And you're not alone. Everyone who walks the path has to kind of navigate this in their mm-hmm. own fashion.
Yeah. And maybe that's why, you know, like you and I with our similar stories, we went all around and tasted this and that, so now we can help somebody be like, oh yes, that is part of the journey, don't you worry.
Exactly.
Because really it is one of my beliefs in life that we are midwives to each other's dreams.
Yes.
And so sometimes you need somebody to help you say push, and other times you need somebody to tell you breathe.
Yes. Very true.
We need to surround ourselves with some good midwives.
Indeed.
Well, I hope Portland folks can come and join us.
Yes.
And for sure, Laura and I will have more conversations here in the podcast. Indeed. Whatever is cooking up for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, always fun. Well, Laura, thank you for coming. And tell us, where can we find you as well?
Oh, yes. Vital Spirit, thevitalspirit.net is my website. And I have Facebook presence, The Vital Spirit. And I also have a closed group for empaths called the Thriving Empath Community.
It's a really good community, yes. Mm-hmm. And so come and join. Well, thank you, Laura.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. And we'll continue our conversations every time.
Indeed.
Indeed. All righty. So signing out. Cheerio. Bye.
Bye.
So that was that. How did you like the conversation? As Laura said in the conversation, we would like to hear from you. What is purpose to you? You know, what has the journey of purpose been like for you? And for those of you who are already thinking about or already have birthed your business, I have my Astrology for Business offerings on my website. I help you from the beginning when you're in the midst of creating something and you want to see how it aligns with who you are and what you're trying to bring forth into the world. But I also have sessions that help you reimagine your brand and what your offerings are and your key messages. So if you're already an entrepreneur and you are in that phase of your business where you're kind of like, well, it started well enough, but I feel like I've lost. There's no me in this business anymore. Then come and let's work together, because I have found astrology not only to help me, but to help a lot of my clients reimagine their business, the gifts and the tools they have at their disposal in working out what they're bringing into the world. You know, think of astrology as, think of your birth chart. You can think of that as your own very marketing committee. You know, each of the planets will say and help you express an aspect of your business. If you're curious to find out more about that as well, I do have a course on my courses page called The Sun is Your CEO. And it's a 1-hour presentation that you can watch at your own time, where I kind of dive in to explore each of the sun signs from the perspective of business. So that is a good entry point if you're not sure, if you want to find out a bit more how astrology can help you with your business. Or it doesn't even have to be your business, but you could it could be a creative project that you're trying to birth in the world. It could be a book, it could be something else that you got cooking. And I'm here to help and be your astrological midwife. Alrighty, if you need more information, just reach out to me at vanessacuto.com. Alrighty, cheerio. Bye.